In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the fifth Sunday of the holy month of Tuba, and typically we're accustomed on every fifth Sunday of any month, the church reads for us the gospel of blessing, which is the feeding of the five loaves and the two fish. And if you'll read this passage, you know, or at least when I read it, one thing kind of stuck out with me, and I think it was the Lord's mercy and compassion. It says, then Jesus lifted his eyes, and seeing the multitude coming towards him, he turned to Philip and said, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? For here the Lord saw that the people were with him for a long time and had compassion on them and wanted to feed them. So he turns to Philip and asks him, what can we do? And then if you also notice in the Gospel of John, you'll find that he mentions that there was green grass there, or there was a lot of grass there. As if, like, the Lord wanted to make sure that even when they sat to eat, they wanted them to sit comfortably. He didn't want them to sit on the stone or on the dirt or anything. He wanted them to sit comfortably. So we see here the Lord's mercy towards the people. And I think this made me think about this topic of mercy. I'd like to speak to you about mercy today, and if I don't finish, we'll speak about it next time as well. If we look at mercy, this is one of the keys to the kingdom of heaven. If you say, how can I get to the kingdom of heaven? This is one of the keys. How do we know this? The Lord said in the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are the merciful, for what? For they shall obtain mercy. Mercy from who? Mercy from God, right? If we show mercy to our brethren, God will show mercy to us. And then he also says in the St. James says, for judgment is without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. So judgment, the judgment of God is without mercy to us if we don't show mercy to our brethren. So I'd like to speak a little bit today about mercy. We'll speak about, you know, two points, just a definition of mercy to make sure we're all on the same page, and then some expressions of mercy that we maybe associate when we speak about mercy. I think this is what we associate with them. The first, the definition of mercy. I'll give you the definition that I found in the dictionary online, but actually when you look in the Bible, the definition is a little bit different. The definition in on the dictionary online, it says somebody who is compassionate or kindly or kind forbearance shown towards an offender, an enemy, or other person in one's power. So it's having mercy or compassion on somebody under my authority or under my power. This is what the dictionary defines it as. The Bible defines it differently. Bear with me. I'm going to read you a passage. Maybe it's familiar to you all. It's from Matthew 18. And from it, we'll take the definition, the biblical definition of mercy. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, that payment may be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had compassion on you? So from this passage, if we were going to make a definition of mercy, I think I would formulate it something like this. The repayment of a small portion of our debt to God through our brethren. The repayment of a small portion of our debt to God through my brethren. So what are the expressions of mercy, of how I can show mercy? What are some of those expressions that we'll speak about? The first is forgiveness, then we'll speak about second chances, then we'll speak about acts of kindness, charitable giving, and exonerating the guiltless. The first is forgiveness. Forgiveness. If we ask ourselves, how many times do we sin in a day? What might we answer? 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 100? Every bad look, every evil thought, every bad word that I think or say, it can be 100 times a day. If you look at the passage that I read about the unforgiving servant, we notice that he was indebted by 10,000 talents, and somebody was indebted to him by 100 denar. Maybe, you know, we are indebted to each other with 100 denarii. But when we talk about our indebtedness to God, it is this 10,000 talents. You know how much 10,000 talents are? 6,000 denarii. Bear with me, we're going to do some math here together, okay? 6,000 denarii is one talent. One talent is 6,000 denarii. And one denarii is a day's worth of wages. So this can apply as, you know, inflation goes up, so does this, you know, this analogy. So one day's work is one denarii. And so one talent is 6,000 days worth of work, right? So the 10 talents would be how many days of work? Who's quick? 60 million. 60 million. So in order to pay back this debt, this guy had to work 60 million days to pay him back. If he had 60 million days, does anybody live 60 million days? Of course not. You can't live 60 million days. The point here is what? That we can't pay it back on our own. We are banking completely on the mercy of the master. And that's why in this passage, when he came and he begged the master, please forgive me, this was all that he could do. He could do nothing else. He couldn't pay back. He, his wife, his children weren't enough. This is us towards God. We are indebted to him for what he gave us. He gave us eternal life. He gave us forgiveness that we could have never accomplished on our own. And we come here and we realize this, and we come into church and we beg and we say, Lord, have mercy 100 times in the liturgy. And we might kneel down and we might shed tears that God might have mercy upon us. And then we come and we take communion. Then we get out of church and immediately things change. I see somebody who gives me a bad look, and I say to myself, I'll never forgive this person. Or somebody maybe who I borrowed something from me and never returned it. And you say to yourself, how can this person come into church? He never paid me back the favor that I did for him. So I come here and I beg for mercy, but then as soon as I come out, I forget the mercy that I was given. So this is why, you know, God, all he expects for us is to pay back some of our debt to our brethren, as if we're doing it to the Lord directly. I'll give you, you know, an example of a couple of stories that I heard from priests about this forgiveness. Some of us might think this the spirituality or the virtue of forgiveness is maybe among, you know, the saints that we see around us. But I'll tell you, some of them are among us here. There was a lady who, and this is heard from a priest who serves in Egypt, who came and told him, Abuna, and she came by crying with tears coming down her face, and she seemed very broken. So Abuna's like, what's going on? Why are you so downcast, and what's troubling you? So she barely got the words out saying that my husband cheated on me. And he's trying to, you know, to comfort her and say, you know, he fell, he's weak, and this and that. She says, you know what, Abuna, this is not it. It was also videotaped, and I saw the video. So he's like, he doesn't know what to say, and he's saying anything to try to like get her to get herself together. And then she says to him, you know, Abuna, do you think I'm coming here and I'm crying because he did this to me? And he's thinking to himself, of course, you know, rightfully so. She's like, no, I'm coming here to confess my sin, not his sin, because I can't forgive him for what he did. Incredible. Is there forgiveness like this among us? There is. There are people out there. It's not St. Anthony, St. Macarius, or any of these. No, this is people among us doing this. Another one, I heard from another priest. A lady came saying, my husband, Malish, it's all upon you this time. The ladies will have their fair share later. He says, my husband has been beating me, physically abusive to me, you know, and I keep letting it go. And this has been the case for like 15 or 20 years. And I felt lately, Abuna, it's been getting very bad. So, Malish, I want to take your permission, yani, to leave and to move out. So Abuna said, you know, if it's for your safety, khalas, you know, move out. And then, you know, the priest went to go visit this lady in the house. And she's saying, you know, about yani, her move and everything. And she's like, you know what, Abuna, I don't hate him for what he did. And believe me, if he was in the hospital or something happened to him, I would go and I would serve him there and I would wash his feet. The priest, of course, was stunned. And I was stunned when I heard it. Somebody's beating and then you go and you say you would serve them. This is forgiveness. This is the forgiveness that some of us, I'm not speaking about Ambantonius or anybody, this is some of us have acquired and practice. And this is the standard by which God asks us to forgive. This forgiveness is a sign of mercy. When I could forgive my brother or a sister for something they have done against me, in this manner, this is like yani, very valuable in the sight of God. You know, there are three things that God or the Bible teaches us that are kind of like we will take from God in the same manner that we give. The first, as we said, is mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Right? So we will get mercy from God when we show others mercy. Then another verse says, judge not. We all know this verse, right? When I don't judge my brethren, I myself won't be judged, right? So there are some things that I, you know, based on what I do, I will receive the same. The last is forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So these three, we hold the key to them. How will God judge us on the last day will be based on what I do to my brethren. Do I show mercy to my brethren by forgiving them? The second is second chances. Second chances. And when I offer somebody a second chance, that means that I believe that God can work in their heart to change them from being St. Moses, the thief, robber, and murderer, to St. Moses, the saint, the father of many monks. I believe that God can change a person when I give them a second chance. And mind you, when I speak about second chance, I don't mean one second chance. You know, it's like, you know, you have one chance to do it again, and if you don't, khalas, it's end of the story. Does God do this with us? Of course not. The second chances of God are many. Give me a chance after chance. Okay? If you look at the passage of the prodigal son, or the lost son, how did this young boy offend his father? The first, of course, we're all familiar with the story. The first, the son was living or had the desire to leave his father's house. And at this time, they didn't leave the house until they had a family or they were married and they would go. So this was maybe the first thing. Did I raise my son in this way to want to rebel and leave out of my house? And mind you, we know that the father was very kind and very forgiving, right? So this household wasn't like a household that you would have drug dealers, that you would expect this kind of rebellion or a broken house. No, this was a very good household. And out of it came this lost, you know, son. So he wanted to leave the house. And the second, he comes to his father and says, give me the portion of my inheritance. If your son or daughter came to you and said this, what would you say? خليك عندك دم وعندك دم استنى لما اموت, right? Wait until I pass before you ask this. This is very insulting, right? So he came asking for something that was very insulting to his father. And his father said, معلش, right? I don't know the translation for معلش. He says, it's okay, right? And then after that, the son goes and spends all of his father's money on prodigal living, on wasteful living, the pleasures of life. Imagine what his father is thinking. Did I raise my son in this way? Why is he going to do this to himself? For he offended his father 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 times. And then we read when he finally came to his senses and came back, what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that he rose and came to his father. And when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What a reception for somebody who offended his father 1, 2, and 3 times. All of us look at this and say, if I was this son, this would, you know, make my day. But what if you were this father? Would you do the same? Do we do the same with our children when they make mistakes? Do the same with our spouses, maybe when they make mistakes? Another example, if I were to say to you, we need a third priest in the church, I think you would agree, right? And we say, okay, we're going to get a third priest, and I'm going to recommend somebody for you. But bear with me, because his resume is not the best. He didn't have the, you know, he wasn't a servant growing up or anything. He actually, you know, used to kill people sometimes, only if he got upset. He used to drag people from other countries and bring them here to be judged by the American courts. He used to, like, make the riots and stuff against, you know, against some Christians. But believe me, I think he's changed now. What would we say? The bunat gennin. Kenisa, do you want to, like, destroy the church? What are you doing? You know who this person is? St. Paul. He was like that. Had not Barnabas interceded on his behalf, on behalf of the apostles, and said to them, give this man another second chance. Christianity may be different than what we know today. The preaching, the letters, the diligent service, the example. I think we see more of Christ in St. Paul than maybe in the Lord himself. So, Christianity wouldn't be the same unless somebody gave this man a second chance. Baby, we have to learn to give each other a second chance. Many of us fall and we recognize our sins. I understand some people don't want to change and don't want to be helped. That's another story. But if somebody shows to you that I want to change and I need help, and you see some signs of change, this person deserves a second chance. So let us look and say, okay, my spouse, my children, my co-workers, anybody, we can give them a second chance. Abuna, if Abuna did something against you, give them a second chance. The more second chances we give others, the more God will give us second chances. We'll take one more, and then we'll complete the sermon next week, God willing, or the week after. Another way to show mercy is doing acts of kindness. Doing acts of kindness. Helping those people who are in need. The question is always hard, and sometimes it's difficult for us to distinguish. Abuna, who are these people that are in need? Is it the people who are on the streets begging? Is it the janitor at the school? Is it the person collecting the garbage? Is it the person that has no job? Abuna, who is this person that are in need that needs my help? Actually, I heard, Yani, a nice, you know, way to make this easy for us to know, to distinguish. The person in need is the person who cannot help themselves. The person in need is the person who can't help themselves. If somebody is in poverty because of no shortage of their effort, this is a person in need. A person might be, trying diligently to, go and apply in many jobs and try to find work and can't find work, and no one's willing to give him a chance in hiring him. This person is a person who is in need, and if he asks for help, I should help him. A person who cannot help themselves. Another type of act of kindness is helping in a manner that might lighten the burden or the load on my brother or sister. So maybe my assistance is just simply to give them a little bit of rest. For example, if I see my mom running around the house like a chicken with her head cut off, trying to clean the house, and I'm sitting at my desk playing on my iPhone or on my tablet. The act of kindness to maybe lighten the burden of your mother is to get up off your bottom and go help your mother. The same goes with the father. The father's outside sweating, and trying to do the yard work or whatever, and I'm just sitting inside the air condition, enjoying myself, watching TV. Here, his act of kindness would be to get up and to help. And somebody asked once the Lord Christ about how he can get to heaven. And he told him, do the commandments, and things like that. And he told him, love your neighbor as yourself. And then he asked him, okay, who is my neighbor? And in response, Christ told to him the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we all heard from when we were in grade school and in Sunday school. First, the priest comes by, who sees this guy beaten and bruised, and he goes around him. Then the Levite, who is kind of like the deacon, who comes by, sees him, and goes around him the other way. Then a foreigner, who doesn't even know the guy or anything, comes by, and the Bible tells us that he saw him and had compassion. Had compassion, this is mercy. He had compassion on him. And what did he do? If this was us, right, and we saw somebody maybe who's on the side of the street who looked a little suspicious. He had, maybe white stereo. Sometimes we stereotype, right? So we say, okay, he has a tattoo, means he's a drug dealer or whatever. So say we stereotype this guy in the worst possible way. He looks like he's on drugs. He looks like he's living a promiscuous life, but he's on the side of the street and he's bleeding. I might come by and say, he looks a little fishy. I don't know if he has AIDS or he has any kind of disease. I'll stop and I'll stand next to him, but I'm not going to put him in my car and take him to the hospital. I'll just wait here and I'll call 911. He's bleeding and everything. What would we do? Would we do this and say, let my car, he might stain it, he might have a disease? This man didn't think of any of this. He took this man that was a foreigner, and he put him on his own, camel or whatever, or donkey that he had at the time, and bandaged his wounds and put oil and things like this on it. So he touched the wounds and everything. He didn't think to himself, is this person worthy, or is this person fit? But he says, no, I just had compassion on him, and I felt like I had, to help. And then at the end of the story, the Lord asked the man, which of these do you think loved his neighbor? And he responded and said, he who showed mercy to him. He who showed mercy to him. The one who offered a helping hand. The one who did an act of kindness. This was the one whom was mercy. And the Lord instructed him and said, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Abuna, I come to the church, I take communion, I confess, and I do all these things. What else can I do? Do acts of mercy. Go and do likewise. So we said the first three things. First, let's review the definition. We said the definition, the biblical definition, according to me, or what I can come up with, was the repayment of a small portion of our debt to God through our brethren, or to our brethren. And how is this mercy expressed? We said one was by forgiveness, by forgiving our brethren. Just as we come here, beg of God's forgiveness, He asks us to forgive our brethren in the same way. Do I have somebody that I can't forgive in my life? Would you want God to think of you and say, you are the one person in this, you know, congregation or this world that I seem to I can't forgive? God forbid that we be that person. The second is second chances, as we saw with the lost son and St. Paul. And the third was doing acts of kindness. God willing, in the next sermon, we'll speak about charitable giving and exonerating the guiltless. May God give us the blessing and give us the desire to be merciful, that we ourselves might obtain mercy. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.